Open your Bibles with me to John chapter 14, and this will be our starting place for our Bible study here together this morning. John chapter 14, we'll read verses 16 through 18. The words that we read, as we've shared before, the words that we read today from John chapter 14 come to us from the Lord Jesus Himself on the last night of His life on earth before He was crucified, as He is preparing His disciples. And let me just go ahead and say this now. His disciples, He has told them that He's about to depart. And you can understand the discouragement, the despair. They didn't really understand why or what He was doing, how He was doing what He was doing. They assumed that He had come to deliver Israel from Rome, be the natural, physical Messiah in the world. They didn't understand the concept of a dying and a suffering Savior. And so when He started talking about dying, they really didn't understand what was going on, what He was talking about. And so when He begins to share these things, you can understand the discouragement and the despair that they would feel leaving this one they have loved so much and who has ministered and meant so much to them. But now He's doing that and He's preparing them for His departure. And He says this to them in John chapter 14, verse 16 through 18. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans," or other translations say, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And so as Jesus prepares His disciples for His departure, He is also preparing them for the coming of the person of the Holy Spirit. This has been prophesied by the prophets for hundreds of years. They've anticipated the coming of the Spirit of God to live and to dwell in the hearts of men. And now Jesus is making prophecy one more time that that day is at hand and the time for the coming of the Holy Spirit has come upon them. And we've been talking for several weeks now in our study. The study is titled simply, Being Filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit and coming to understand the significance of the impact, the positive impact that the Holy Spirit can make on our lives when we allow Him to come into our heart and be controlled, be in control of our lives. When we surrender and give up control and let the Spirit of God take control, He can make a positive difference and cause us to live the victorious Christian life. Jesus made this statement in John 10:10. He said, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And I know that means, obviously, it means eternal life. It means when we leave this world, we go to heaven. We are with God. We spend eternity with Him. But Jesus used the phrase abundant life and not eternal life, because I believe that when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, that the life that God wants us to live begins at that moment and not just when we depart and leave this earth. Now, that's a good thing that we know that we're born again. When we receive Christ, we say yes to Jesus. He comes into our heart. We're saved. We're born again. We're destined for heaven. We anticipate eternity with God, and our minds can't grasp the glory of the eternity that awaits us. But what I see when I read the Scriptures, and listen, when I read the Scriptures and I see the Holy Spirit coming to us, here's what I see. I see when the Holy Spirit comes to us, that actually heaven has come to dwell in us, so that you and I have the privilege, by the power of the Holy Spirit within us, to experience a foretaste of heaven while we're on the way to heaven. I'm going to show you that from the Word in just a few moments. But I believe that's what abundant life means. We know about the peace, the joy, the contentment, the satisfaction, the fulfillment, the rest that heaven's going to be. And I believe God wants us to experience that now as we learn to trust in Him and walk with Him through the course of this life. Paul calls the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, we have this treasure in our earthen vessels. He calls the presence of God within us a treasure. It's a valuable treasure that we can draw from to live our lives day to day. But too many people, and too many of us even who profess to know Christ, too many of us spend most of our time living life in our own strength, and we forget about the treasure that's been deposited within us. We need to learn to draw from that treasure. It's kind of like, if I can use a natural example, let's say you had a distant relative lives down in Texas. He's become a multi-millionaire from oil in Texas. And he has no other dependents. And when he dies, he leaves everything to you. Only nobody down there knows who you are. You don't know that he's passed away. He's left everything for you, but you don't know anything about it. Here you are, a multimillionaire, but you don't know anything about it. And you wind up living your life as a pauper when you could have been living in extravagance because of what's been given to you. You just didn't know you had it. I think spiritually speaking, that's the way it is for a lot of us. We live our lives striving. I shared with you last week. We strive and we work and we do our best. And we say, oh, I'm going to try harder and I'm going to do better. And we wind up just failing. You ever done that? Seems like to me the harder I try, the harder I fall. And the more I get hurt. And it's because living the Christian life, brother and sister, it's not about trying harder to do better. Living the Christian life is about surrender and giving up control to the Holy Spirit and letting Him live in us. It's why Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who died for me, who loved me and died for me. And so he's saying, I live not out of the resources of my own strength and my own energy, but rather I am living my life out of the resources of the Holy Spirit who's on the inside of me. And it was because of that he made the statement in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 that we all know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He didn't just say, I can do all things. That would have been bragging. That would have been arrogant. But he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's humility. That's surrender. What he's saying is, I'm dependent totally on Jesus, you see. I'm not depending on myself. I'm depending on Jesus. I'm depending on the Spirit of Jesus who lives on the inside of me. And that's the way you and I need to learn to live our lives. Let me just share just a couple of other verses along these lines this morning. First of all, from Romans chapter 8, and just two verses, verses 10 and 11 there. And the Apostle Paul is writing to the believers in Rome this whole idea about living out of the resources of the Holy Spirit and His strength, or trying to live life out of my own self-will and strength, which is usually why we fall. In fact, the seventh chapter in Romans chapter 7, Paul makes this statement. The thing that I want to do, I'm not able to do. And the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this bondage of death? Again, you know, I see things in my life that I know are not right. And I say, well, I'm going to try harder to do better. And it won't be long. I've made the same mistake all over again because I'm trying in my own strength to get it right. And what I need to do is I need to go to the Lord and I need to say, Lord, I am not able. I can't handle this. I need your grace. I need your strength. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul would say, in my weakness, I find the grace and the strength of the Lord. When I'm weak, he said, I am made strong by the grace of the Lord. And so he says in Romans chapter 8, now listen to these verses, Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. He says, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Okay, now watch. Now, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Now, watch what Paul says. Paul says, as Christians, We can have Christ in our heart. We can be saved. Okay? We're destined for heaven. But there's something else that needs to take place. He says in verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Here's the point. There's a difference between the Spirit of Christ being in us and the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us. I know that sounds like semantics. I promise you it's not. You can have the Holy Spirit in you, but if He's not active in you, you're not going to be experiencing His power and His blessings. You can be saved because the Holy Spirit is in you, but if you're not surrendered to Him, letting Him have control, you're not going to experience the joy, the peace, the happiness, and all of the other things that He wants to manifest through you in this lifetime. The word dwell there in verse 11 means to be operative. Not just to be in, but to be in and operative, you see. And that's a whole different ballpark. We need to let the Holy Spirit be operative on the inside of us. And then he goes on to say there, if the Holy Spirit dwells, if He's operating in us, then he says, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. That word life, it's a form of a Greek word, and you may be familiar with it, Z-O-E. It's pronounced Zoe, and it's the word that describes the life and the quality of God Himself. It's the God kind of life. The life of peace, of joy, of faith, of hopefulness, of love. It's God's quality of life. And that's what He wants us to experience in this lifetime. It's life as Adam knew it before he fell. It's the life that Jesus lived in the 33 years that He was here. By the same Holy Spirit, we are to live the same kind of life. Let me continue on. In Ephesians chapter 1. Paul recognizing the fact that we can have the Spirit, but not be surrendered to the Spirit. We can be destined for heaven, but not be experiencing heaven in this lifetime. He prayed a prayer for the believers in Ephesus that they would learn to surrender to the Holy Spirit. They would know who they are, know what was theirs, and surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit to experience all of God's goodness in this lifetime. See, guys, listen, eternal life is wonderful. Praise God for it. But God cares about the rotten here and now just as much as He does as the beautiful, glorious heaven that awaits us. And thank God for that. And when we walk with the Lord, we can begin to experience today what He purchased for us at Calvary's cross. In fact, let me just go ahead and share that with you before I show you the prayer here in Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14, watch this. Paul says, in Jesus, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Jesus with the Holy Spirit of promise. Here's what he says. You believed in Jesus, the Holy Spirit came to be in you, you're sealed, you're born again, you have the promise of the Holy Spirit. But now wait, he hadn't stopped. Look at verse 14. Here's why the Holy Spirit was given. Who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with the view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. Let's unravel that. He says the Holy Spirit has been given to you. This translation says as a pledge. The footnote says as a, watch this, as a down payment. A down payment of your inheritance. What's our ultimate inheritance? It's heaven. It's eternity. It's being with God forever. That's our inheritance. And the Holy Spirit has been given as a down payment on that inheritance. In other words, we have the Holy Spirit so that we might begin to experience heaven while we're on the way to heaven. Okay? And Paul, knowing this, prays this prayer for these believers in Ephesus. And I believe it's a prayer all of us should pray over our own lives, beginning down in verse 16. Paul says in verse 15, for this reason of your faith and your love, I do not cease giving thanks for you, verse 16, while making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now let's stop right there. He says, I pray that God would give you the Holy Spirit in such a way that He will open your spiritual eyes, He will open your understanding so that you might realize some things. See, again, as Christians, a lot of us know we're going to heaven, but beyond that, we don't know a whole lot about what this Christian journey is all about through this lifetime. We don't know about what's available to us as believers. We don't know about all that God wants us to experience in this lifetime. And please understand, we're not talking about just God blessing us just for the sake of blessing us. Surely God wants to do that. But you understand, Jesus said this. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, He said, let your light shine among men so they may see your good works and glorify God in heaven. Okay, here's what Jesus said. I want your life to be a light that shines to the whole world, and when they look at it, they recognize it's God in you. Okay. In other words, He's saying, I want you to live your life in such a way that God is glorified and men are drawn to God. He's talking about being living witnesses, guys. He's talking about living your life in such a way, hey, that there's a difference. When the government shuts down, you don't fall all to pieces. When you get cancer, you don't freak out and just whatever. When things happen in your life, you don't just crumble and fade away. You stand strong. You have a smile on your face. You continue to have the joy of the Lord in your heart. You continue to be at peace. And the world looks at you and they go, wow, that guy, there's something different about that guy. How is that guy able to live such a life like that and all the stuff that he's going through? I mean, he's lost everything that he owns. He has no job. His wife has got some illness, all of this stuff. And yet he still has joy in his heart. How is that possible? Jesus. Jesus, you see. When you live a different life, your life becomes a witness. And your life is an epistle for all men to read. And it's an opportunity, an open door for you to tell people about Christ. That's ultimately what this is all about, guys. We're going to be talking more about that in the next couple of weeks. But Paul prayed this prayer in Ephesians 1 here. And he says, I pray the Holy Spirit would open your eyes to all that's available to you, that you would know the hope of your calling, what it is you're called to in eternity, the riches of your inheritance, what belongs to you as a child of God, what is the surpassing greatness of the power toward us who believe. What is the greatness of God's power that's in you? I tell you, we've yet to plumb the depths of the power of God that dwells within us as the people of God. You look at the book of Acts and you see a people of God who are doing the miracles of Jesus, who are turning the world upside down. How did 12 men over a period of about 30 years turn their world so completely upside down? Here we are 2,000 years later, professing billion Christians on the planet or more, and yet we seemingly have very little impact on our society anymore. Let me tell you why. It's because too many of us are no different than the world, for one thing. We practice Christianity as a Sunday morning religion, and the rest of our life we just live it however we want to. We look just like the world. We don't show them anything different. Okay, that's one problem. We don't know who we are. We don't know what we have as Christians. We don't walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't live a different life. And even in churches today, and we've talked about this before, many churches today are built on programs. They're built on technology. They're built on, the latest gadgets and latest gimmicks and all of these kind of things. And they're not built on the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I think I shared with you before, not too long ago, a Chinese gentleman came to America. He was a member of the underground church in China. And in China, they don't have the freedoms we do, obviously. And he came to America to preach in some of the churches and share about his cause and things like that. And he was taken to a couple of the mega churches in the United States. And he's shown all the, the high-tech stuff that goes on in so many of the churches. And this Christian from China looked around and he said, it's amazing what you can accomplish without the Holy Spirit. And I thought, wow, what are we producing? What are we producing? Guys, Jesus, listen, the Bible says this, Unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. And I don't care how big your organization is. If it's built on gadgets, programs, technology, and the like, and it's not built on God, you just got another social club. You hadn't built the kingdom, you just got a social club. It's got to be built on Jesus. It's got to be built in the power of the Holy Spirit, or else it's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. And we need to build by the Holy Spirit, and we need to be surrendered in order to build. Listen, Zechariah, in the Old Testament, they were rebuilding the temple. Zechariah and the priest were discouraged because the work wasn't getting done. And Zechariah prayed to the Lord, and you know, he was seeking the Lord, and God spoke to him and he said, listen, the temple will be complete with shouts of grace to it. Shouts of grace to it. Why? For he went on to say, it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. In other words, God was saying the temple will be built by my grace and by my spirit, not by human effort. It doesn't mean humans are not going to cooperate. It just means it's not going to be human effort that produces it. It's going to be the Spirit of the Lord. Well, listen, how many of you understand today that Jesus is building a temple today? Jesus is building a temple. We are the temple of the living God. And Jesus is building a temple today, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And this temple is going to be built not by might, nor by power, not by ingenuity, not by technology. It's going to be built by the grace of the Lord and by the Spirit of the Lord. God wants us, look at what he says here in verse, once again in verse 17. In verse 17, Ephesians chapter 1, he says, I pray who would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That word knowledge is an interesting word. The word knowledge there means more than just mental knowledge. It actually means an experiential knowledge. Listen, here's what the Word of God's telling us. God wants us to experience Him. To experience Him. We need to know Him up here. That's good. We need to have good theology. That's important. But God wants us to have more than just a head knowledge of who He is. He wants us to have an intimate relationship with Him whereby we experience Him and know Him as a result of that experience. God wants us to experience God. He wants us to experience God. And in that experience, come to know Him. You know, I thank God that my knowledge of cheeseburgers is not just mental. It's not just because somebody told me what they taste like. I've experienced cheeseburgers. And I know what cheeseburgers taste like, and I like them. Okay? But see, I have an experiential knowledge of cheeseburgers. So I know what they, listen, I know what they taste like. And I enjoy them. And I like them. Well, God wants us to have a knowledge that's based on experience of Him. That's why the psalmist says this, Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The psalmist says, experience God for yourself and see how good God can be in your life. God wants us to experience Him and to know Him in that way, praise God. We need to have that experiential knowledge of the Lord. God wants us to experience Him in real and practical ways in our life, in a faith that conquers fear, in love that knows that it's accepted no matter what we've done. God still loves us and He still receives us and He never turns us away. We need to experience God in a hope that replaces despair, in joy that overcomes sorrow, in peace that endures the storms of life. God wants us to experience Him in all of these, in comfort, in a time of mourning in our life. Just by the sheer weight of the presence of the Lord being with us. God wants to comfort our hearts. Jesus was comforting His disciples when He was about to leave on that night in John chapter 14. And He says, there's another helper. My translation says helper. I think the King James Bible says comforter. I'm going to send to you another comforter. Someone who's going to comfort you in my absence. I'm leaving, but he's coming back. And he will come and he will comfort your heart by his presence within you. Praise God. Last week, we talked about Jesus showing us how the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He is our guide. He is our leader. He has the plan of God for our life. God has a plan for every life. God has a plan for every person. And 2 Corinthians tells us that the Holy Spirit of God who is within us knows what that plan is. The Holy Spirit knows the plan that Father God has for you, and He lives on the inside of you to tell you what that plan is, to show you what that plan is. I talked about how God called me to the ministry and just opened the doors and made the way. How God called us to start this church 25 years ago and how God provided this land for us. Just the leading of the Holy Spirit as we would venture and as we would step out and as we would do what we believe the Lord wanted us to do, the Lord would show us the next step. He would do the next thing for us. And the Holy Spirit dwells in every believer to lead us in the ways of the Lord so that the things of God can be fulfilled in our lives. He has a plan and a purpose for every life. But listen, guys, we've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We've got to be listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We can't just live our lives any way. Here's the problem. We treat God like a heavenly Santa Claus, or we treat God like an emergency room physician. The only time we go to God is when we need something or when we want something. And the rest of our lives, we don't have a whole lot to do with God. Because we can't treat God that way and just expect God. We need to understand something. Look, God does not exist to serve us. We exist to serve Him. We've got the cart before the horse, see? And we need to understand who's really in charge here. And we need to live a life of daily surrender to the Spirit of the Lord where God is in control and be drawing near continually to the Lord and develop a personal relationship with the Lord and a sensitivity to the voice of the Spirit of the Lord so that when God speaks, we obey so that God knows, hey, you know, this is somebody. If Jim is somebody who is listening to the Lord and Ed is not, I'll use you as the bad guy. If Jim is listening to the Lord and he's obeying the Lord and Ed's not going to listen to the Lord, not going to do anything the Lord's going to say, which one do you think the Lord's more likely to go to get something done? He's going to go to Jim. Jim's listening. Ed's off playing with computers somewhere and he's not doing the things of the Lord. My point is, guys, if we want God to speak to us, when He does speak, we need to obey. And then when we obey, He'll speak again. And we need to do what God's telling us to do. And then when we've done it, He'll tell us something else to do. And one step by step, and the plans of God will be unfolded before us and the purposes of God will be accomplished through us. But we've got to be surrendered and we've got to live continually in the presence of the Lord. Just real quickly, one more thought and I'll close this morning. The Bible says, all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. But you know what's even more important than what we do for God is what we become in the Lord. How many of you understand that character matters to God? Yeah, we live in a world today where character doesn't matter a whole lot anymore. People say, well, as long as he can do the job, I don't care what he does on his own time, it's his business. Well, you need to understand that a person of a bad reputation and a bad character, that character is going to filter right on down into whatever he's doing for you too. So you need to be careful who you associate with, fellowship with, join up with, and vote for. That's as far as I'm going with that. But you need to be careful. We really need to be careful because a person who has a bad character in one area of his life, that bad character is going to filter into all the other areas of his life. It's not just going to stay over in one area. A bad dude's a bad dude, okay? It's just the way it is. See? And what's important to God is our character. I'm going to get into this more next week, but let me just give you the gist of what I want to share with you today. Even as Christians, we can get wrapped up and caught up in sin in our lives. And how many of you know the Bible says the wages of sin is death? The wages of sin is death. Guys, that's not just talking about the sinner who's going to go to hell. It's true of that person. But listen, it's also true of us who believe in Jesus. If we believe in Jesus and yet purpose and choose to live a life of continual sin, we continue in the flesh, we continue to compromise, and we lie and cheat and steal and compromise and cut the corners and do all these kinds of things, we live like the world. We'll have to read one more verse. Galatians chapter 6, and understand this passage is written to Christians, okay? Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Paul says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. And the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Here's what he's saying. Even if we are born again Christians, if we choose to live a life of sin, we will reap corruption and destruction in our life. There is a price to pay for sin. But if we will sow to the Spirit, that means we're listening to the Holy Spirit, we're getting our instructions from Him, we're saying, "Yes, Lord," and we're following the Spirit of the Lord, and we're doing those things He's leading us to do. He says, from the Spirit, we will reap life. That's the same word, life more abundant. When we follow the Holy Spirit, when we're filled with and empowered by the Spirit of God, you and I will experience life more abundant. Peace, joy, happiness, hopefulness, faithfulness, love, all of that stuff we're out in the world searching for, working so hard to get. Listen, if you believe in Jesus, it's already right in here by the presence of the Holy Spirit within you. We need to look inward to the Holy Spirit, trust in Him, surrender to Him, and we'll experience everything that our heart desires. And Father, we thank You for that today. We thank You for Your great love that is lavished on us even now by Your presence that lives within us. Help us, Father, as Your children today. Help us to live a life that is surrendered to Your Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Help us to lay down our life, our selfishness, our fleshly nature, and our selfish ambitions. Help us to take up our cross today, Father, and live a crucified life that glorifies Jesus by the power of Your Holy Spirit working within us. I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and stay in an attitude of prayer for just a moment this morning. Bless You, Lord. As we bring the service to a close this morning, I'll ask you to spend just a moment in the presence of the Lord yourself. Would you talk to God about your life and your situation? And would you say, "God, would You show me the truth of my own heart? Show me what my motives in life really are. Show me, God, if my motives are for myself, if it's for things, if it's for money, if it's for ambition. Or show me, God, if I'm really living my life for You and for Your glory. Show me, Lord. And help me, God. Help me to surrender my heart fresh to You today, that You might be in control, that You might have Your way in my life." Let the Holy Spirit deal with you for just a few moments. Be honest with God. Let Him have His way in you today. Father, I believe even now You're speaking to hearts in this little room here today. You're blessing the people that are here. You're encouraging your people here this morning, Lord. You've encouraged them in the Word, and I believe even now you're encouraging them by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we really do want to experience you in all of your glory. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Help us to know you. Open our eyes to see you, to know who you are. Bless you, Father. You know, our relationship with the Lord is a very personal thing. It's very personal. It's very intimate. And yet, God gives us each other in the family of the Lord that we might encourage each other in our personal journeys and in our personal walk. Now, your decision for the Lord is yours and yours alone to make. I just want to encourage you this morning. First of all, if you've never made a decision for Jesus, to understand that the only way to eternal life is through faith in Him. And if you've never made a decision to give your heart and life to Jesus, admit your need of salvation, I encourage you to do that today. Ask Jesus to forgive you, to save you, to make you a child of God. If you'll pray a simple prayer to the Lord and ask Him to do that, He'll save you today and start you on a spiritual journey that'll last you forever. Would you call on Jesus today and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save my soul. Forgive me my sins. And then, brothers and sisters, we need to surrender to the Holy Spirit every day. Father, we just want to say, anoint us fresh with your Spirit today, Lord. We admit that we've not walked with you the way we should. Help us to live that surrendered life. I'll let you have complete control and have your way in us. Thank you, Lord, for all that will happen as a result. Your kingdom will come, and your will be done in us, in the earth, even as it's done in heaven. Praise you for that. So, Father, as we leave this place today, I trust, Father, that we will remember the word of the Lord we've heard here, and we will remember what the Holy Spirit has spoken to our hearts. Encourage us in that, Lord, to be obedient to you with every breath that we take in this life. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for being our God, our Father, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We always sing a song of dismissal at the church. It goes like this. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. Thank you for being with us today, all of the Kaplingers and Dennises and Holders and all the guys. God bless you so much.